Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
On this eve of Veterans Day, we have a fictional tale based on one family's true story. It's the late 1800s. An immigrant woman who'd exchanged one poor village in Hungary for another in Colorado is hit and killed by a train, but not before throwing her baby off the trestle into the water below. That little boy, Joseph, returns with his father to a small village in Austria-Hungary to eke out life as sheep herders. Then he and his brother, expert sharpshooters, barely in their teens, are caught up in World War I, on the losing side. Joseph becomes a prisoner of the Italians and sees incredible death and carnage.
Prisoners who hadn't been maimed were force-marched from the Piave to Varago. Roads were littered with the dead. Austrians killed while running or making a final stand. Italian soldiers yet unclaimed. Some looked as though they were slumped over with sleep and that a shout as we passed might rouse them. Others were caught in bizarre attitudes and poses, twisted, spitting, begging. One blackened figure knelt with head down and hands open, as though waiting to receive a blessing.
Author Andrew Krivak reading from his achingly beautiful slim novel, The Sojourn, which is a finalist for the National Book Award. It's a story that might seem too much hardship for one family, but much of it is based on his own. And Andrew Krivak joins us in the studio with more. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you, Robin.
It was your great-grandmother that was caught on that train trestle?
It was. That's right.
In Colorado?
In Pueblo, Colorado.
And threw a baby off?
It's a true story, and my parents had actually gone out to Pueblo to find the true story, and they brought back the edition of the Pueblo Star Journal.
Oh. Wow. And yet it's your grandfather who ultimately went to World War I.
That's right. So the baby who was thrown over the trestle into the water was my great uncle. But it was my grandfather from the same village who went off to World War I. So much of the story is an amalgam, if you will, of the many characters that I've heard about growing up in my family.
Well, wow. Heard about them around a stove growing up in Pennsylvania.
That's exactly right. Around the stove, yes.
Yeah, with your grandmother not always having the English language to tell you these things.
Well, I'm not so sure if she was telling me or my brothers and sisters so much as maybe relating to my mother, because my mother was really the linguistic go-between. Mm. And it was as though she almost, in a sense, was unburdening herself. She had a very deep ambivalence towards what she always referred to as the old country. Her and her, my grandfather, when they left, they never looked back, not a single letter.
Hungary, was it? Or
what became Slovakia, but it was all part of the Hungarian Empire
right.
At the time.
Well, and it was the family that went back that she apparently wanted to tell you about. And this grandfather that, I understand you had a picture of him at war.
That's right. Yes.
And everyone else in the picture had been killed.
That's right. That's what we understand. It's hard to say who did survive or who didn't, but he seemed to suggest when he spoke to my mother about this photograph that no one else went on to that Sardinian prisoner of war camp.
Well, this was after those fighting on the Austro-Hungarian side in the waning days of empire were captured by the Italians, marched off to the island of Sardinia, but on the way they travel through these battles. In the way it reads in the book, as these young boys are going from battlefield to battlefield, it feels like I'm hearing about what would be sacred ground in this country, Gettysburg, Antietam. How did you know about these battles in World War I? Did you research it? Did you go there?
A great deal of research, and I was on the land, the battlefields themselves. What I know specifically is that my grandfather fought when the Austro-Hungarians lost to the Italians in the last push and sent to the prisoner of war camp in Sardinia, where many Austrians, something like 40%, my research suggested, died of disease or malnutrition. But my grandfather always told my mother that he had a great time, as one, I put those in inverted commas, but he enjoyed the Italians and they enjoyed him. It's the first time he'd ever tasted an olive. They gave him wine to drink. But back to the battlefields. I just started connecting the dots, essentially. And the idea of the sharpshooter, my grandfather was not a sharpshooter. He was a gunner of what looked like, from this photograph, a retrofitted machine gun to shoot down the heavy British aircraft presence on the Italian front. But I knew that I wanted this book to be a coming of age. I wanted to understand my grandfather. And the sharpshooter emerged through reading British memoirs about World War I, Siegfried Sassoon's memoirs of an infantry officer, has a passage where he talks about his Landskorporal being killed in an instant by a German sharpshooter.
Well, and it's amazing. We see that in your book, too. The sharpshooters kill in an instant and are killed
exactly.
in an instant. Somebody standing right next to somebody else is, boom, suddenly dead. But before that, you have a description of how the sharpshooters operate. Just share that with us.
I never once wondered who those men might be, if they were in love with anyone or if they had families. They were the enemy, and they would stand and fight and try to kill as many men as I might pass in the night to or from the trenches that separated us, not just in battle, but, we were told, by the will of God. And so I killed as I had been instructed and believed that death and death alone would save me.
That's Andrew Krivak again reading from his World War I novel, The Sojourn. The character Joseph, who sort of is an amalgam of people that you knew in your family who'd fought in World War I, Joseph is the sharpshooter. And he might feel that way in that passage, but later he's a prisoner of war. And these people come to visit him. He is haunted.
He is. You know, I remember Toni Morrison talking about the presence of ghosts in her family, that for her, for instance, the ghost of Beloved was not a strange thing. And my grandmother used to talk to my mother. I remember actually being in the back seat of our car when my mother was taking her out to pay the bills. They were talking about something, and I asked my mother what Grandma had just said, and she said, "Oh, well, Grandpa came to talk to her last night because she's trying to figure out what to do with the house." And I said,
"Really?
Wow, really?" Yeah. And my grandmother understood. She turned around and she said, "Oh, Andro, don't worry about that." But apparently, you know, her husband would come and they would sort it out. He would sit on the edge of the bed, and that's why Joseph's comrade in arms comes to him at night in the prisoner of war camp. And essentially, that's his way of healing. It's a very difficult way of healing, but he needs to come to grips with not just the men he's killed, but also his brother-in-arms and how they lived and how he died.
Yeah. It's a story about men at war. Your mother's father fought in World War I. But do we also understand that it's potentially maybe a story about your father? His father died at a young age in a mining accident in Pennsylvania. And he was just another, you know, miner brought home in a pine box. So even for your father, a new generation who had seen men sort of emasculated, you know, working in the mines, they became men on the battlefields. That was where they became men, either your father in World War II or your grandfather in World War I.
That's right. In fact, the big question that was sort of the seed of this novel for me was, how did these men survive, those who did? Was it some capricious sense of fate in the world, or did they do something that other men didn't do, and so they survived as such? A version, not of this book, but of a book I had begun to write, took place in World War II, where my father fought. But I eventually knew that I had to write this book about my mother's father in World War I, and so this became the one that emerged.
It came first.
It came first, yeah, that's right. But that's true. I mean, my father's own sense of how he came of age without a father permeates, I should say, this book in many ways, and also too, you know, I dedicate the book to my mother. She's Irene in the dedication. Mm-hmm. She gave me these stories. She let me listen to them. She let me listen to my grandmother, and she translated them. But Irene in the old Greek is the word for peace, and so for as much as this is understood as a war novel, I also want the reader at the end to think, it's a peace novel, too. There has to be some coming to grips with peace if there's going to be this embrace of war.
Well, you can't read about World War I in particular and not, you know, yearn for peace.
That's exactly right.
It's so horrendous. Andrew Krivak, his World War I novel is called The Sojourn. It's just been nominated for the National Book Award. Best of luck to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Robin.